Mind your own business. I'm only hurting myself. I'm not hurting anybody else. How many times have you heard someone say that to you? Maybe not exactly that way, but maybe some other way. Those words are usually defensive in nature, and usually by those who are harboring some guilt from their actions. We probably even uttered them ourselves. Sometimes they come from the mouths of our children. But it has no age limit. This is how we justify certain sins in our lives. But the sad part of it is that Satan has given this defense to the weakening of individuals that he is trying to control. Everyone in here, everyone, has fought many battles. Some battles we have won and some we have lost. But many of us have come to the realization long ago that wrong is wrong, even if only a single person is hurt. So the question that we try to answer tonight is how we can spread this message to others. To know that right is right and wrong is wrong, even if it only affects one person. There was once a house that God built. We find that house in Genesis chapter 1, in verses 26 and 27. And the Bible reads here, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image God created him, male and female created he him. What God is saying here, what this two verses are saying, is that we were created perfect. There was absolutely no flaw in our creation. For God would never create an imperfect thing. In Exodus chapter 31 and verse 3, speaking of Bezalel, he said, "I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." Perfection. That is God's mantra. Everything created by God was perfect. But then we changed. Genesis 3 and verses 4 and 5, "And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall surely not die. For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as the gods, knowing good and evil." The perfect building. The perfect house where the Spirit of God was dwelling in man. And then Satan put his hand in it and desecrated the land by defiling the house that God built. You and I. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 19. In verses 45 and 46. And speaking of Jesus, Luke writes here, "And he went into the temple, and he began to cast out them that sold therein, and those that bought. And he said to them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." By doing those things that only hurt ourselves, we have allowed Satan inside so that sin can abide and fill the house that God built. And Paul very much understood this in Romans chapter 5. In verse 12, Paul writes here to the brethren, "Whereby as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Wouldn't it be great if we were exactly the same way as when we were born? Not a single sin. And we were able to keep that way throughout our whole life. Sinless and pure. But that changed as we got older. There are many who came to believe, many of us came to believe the truth. And we obeyed that gospel call. And we were once again coming up out of those waters of baptism sinless. But how long did it last? How long did it last? I venture to say not very long at all. For you see that even though we've been forgiven of those things, we still seem to pack a whole lot of baggage. It's like we're going on a vacation and the car's loaded up and we don't know what to leave behind. It's not long after that that we start weakening the very foundation that God built. And the fulfillment that we experience in those things that only hurt ourselves is vanity. And the inside pain is destroying the house that God built. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 10. Isaiah writes here, "The bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." You see, the key to this verse is in the materials used in construction. If you'll notice, a lot of times if you go to a very old house that is made of brick, how the brick eventually starts to crumble. It becomes weakened. It chips off. It becomes weathered. Bricks will never outlast stone. In the same way, sycamore wood will never outlast cedar. In Christ, our foundation is strong. But everything else went wrong in weakening the house that God built. In the 87th Psalm in verse 1, it says that his foundation is in the holy mountains. And God, the builder, he sent his son to repair what was done, causing the devil to run. And thereby he saved the house that God built. Isaiah 26 and verse 16. It says, "Therefore says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believes shall not make haste." And we find a reference to this in Matthew 16 and verse 18, where Christ was telling Peter, "Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Of course, as I said many times, that rock is the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I've said many times before, if we could ever prove that false, the Christian religion as we know it, would crumble and fall immediately. That house that almost fell was saved from hell, so that the Holy Spirit could dwell inside the house that God built. The only problem is that we keep allowing the termites of sin to come in and tear away at the foundation, the building that is on this foundation. Solomon, in his wisdom and in trying to figure out man's role in the world in Ecclesiastes and what it is, in chapter 5 and verse 1 of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes, "Keep your foot when you go to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not consider that they do evil." If this message has not rung true, then this message is for you. Because each of us here are a house that God built. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, he said, "If any man defiles the temple of God, him God will destroy. For the temple of God is holy." Here's the clincher. You are that temple. King James says, "Which temple ye are." We were created for a purpose. And God truly cares what happens to each and every one of his children. Not just the children who have obeyed the gospel, but every human being on the face of this earth. And because God cares for each of his children, everything we do affects someone else. Remember this. There are at least two people in this world that you would die for. Think about that. If your parents, you would certainly die for your children, if it came to that. But there are at least 15 people in this world that love you in some way. And the only reason anyone would hate you is because they want to be like you. A smile can bring happiness to anyone, even to the person that doesn't like you. Think about that. And every night, someone thinks about you before they go to sleep. My friends, you mean the world to someone. Each one of us are special. Each one of us are unique. And someone you don't even know exists, loves you. When you make the biggest mistake ever, something good comes of it. Think about that. Think about that. Think about the person who is sitting in prison because they made the biggest mistake ever in their life. Something good comes of that, at least for 99.9% of the people that are in that predicament. I'm just the 0.1% are the ones that have no feelings whatsoever about anything. Sometimes we think that the world has turned its back on us. And that is the time that we need to turn around and look again. We need to always remember the compliments we receive and to forget about the rude remarks. I think we're all pretty special, don't you? Of all of God's creation, our body is the only body that is a temple to the Lord. The only body. As much as we love our dogs and cats and horses and lizards or whatever else we have, we are the ones that God truly loves. And our body was meant to be a dwelling place for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that dwelling place is made for spreading a message of truth to those around us. If we allow our occupations of the world to rule in our lives, we weaken the foundation. And if we weaken that foundation enough, it will result in total collapse and destruction within. We are not designed by God to live within ourselves. We are not designed by God to think that we are the only person in the world that anything really matters. Each of us matters deeply to one another. And it is our responsibility not only to try to get others around us to see this and to understand it, but also to be there for one another, to be able to keep their foundation firm and secure, and to keep the termites of sin away, so that this temple that God has built remains strong and sturdy for our lifetime. If there is anyone here this evening who desires to obey the gospel, we want to give you the opportunity tonight. God has a plan for each and every one of us. But his greatest desire for each and every one of us is to go to heaven. And through repentance and confession and New Testament baptism, you can secure your name in heaven. What a joy it would be to know that your name is written in the rolls of heaven. If you are a child of God and there's something that you've been caught up in that you've been struggling with and you need our prayers, we want to give you the opportunity. Maybe it's something that you need to confess to Christ and to God in a public way. We want to give you that opportunity. But also know that if it is something of a private nature between you and God, you can go to God on your own. If there's anyone that has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.